The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Second half of the show is live. The governor of Georgia coming on in a few minutes. Why? Well, he signed a new bill earlier today in Athens, his alma mater at the University of Georgia, that will allow the NIL to go into effect. There's some provisions that will allow. It doesn't mean that they're required to, and we'll talk a little bit about that with the governor here in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And back to the calls we go, and Rick is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, man?
It is great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Well, first thing I was going to say something about Christopher's comment, but you answered it beautifully, so I really don't have to now. I agree 100% with you on that.
Thank you.
And I'm starting to get a little excited about Josh Heupel. I was sitting on the fence when they named him head coach. But as I look around, you know, at least if nothing else, we should have an explosive offense, I think. We have some good quarterbacks. And the Jimbo thing, I haven't heard the entire quote. I'm sorry I missed your first hour. But those, you know, there is no more bulletin board stuff with our time. And nowadays, nobody has a bulletin board anymore. And that's just, and Jim's got to create some, Jimbo's got to create some excitement. And he's got to let them know, you know, like you said, that $75 million was well spent. It's time to beat Bama. And let's face it, every school in the SEC is trying to hire a coach who can beat Saban.
Rick, let me read it to you, and this is verbatim. I wasn't there, but we talked to the reporter who was. Jimbo Fisher was at the Houston Touchdown Club, and the reporter Brent Zwerneman said he was really giddy. It's the first time he's been in a room with 500 people. First time a lot of people have been in a room with 500 people in a while, and he just was bouncing off the walls. He said, and it was a question and answer period. And a lady kept pushing him, and he finally said, okay, go ahead. And she asked a follow-up to an original question. She asked him about what was going to happen when Nick Saban retired. Would it be easier for A&M and everyone else to win? And his quote was verbatim, we're going to beat his ass when he's there. Don't worry. And, you know, he did go on to let the audience know he had great respect for Saban, which is, you know, somewhat of a pro forma response. You have to say that nowadays. But he said it. Right. They loved it. And it's been the talk of college football today.
Okay. Well, good for Jimbo. I mean, yeah, you got to say something nowadays, Paul. The old cliche, you know. Butch Jones gave everybody that cliche.
Hey, Rick, as somebody who interviews all these coaches, and we enjoy doing it, I think it's fantastic because, you know, the coach speak will drive you crazy. I mean Butch Jones, I used to try to interview him, and I mean I would rather be chewing on nails than listen to some of the stuff he had to say.
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You take care of yourself, my friend. Victor is up next in Florida. Victor, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi there.
I called in on Tuesday. I was put on hold and actually ended up having to give up on the call, but it was when you were discussing the preseason poll.
Right.
And I'm kind of surprised that people didn't come on more, saying it really means nothing. Especially considering, I guess in about 2010, 2011, Oklahoma started off the preseason number one, and I think they finished around 15th or so. Also, Georgia started out in, I guess, 08 or 07. They started out number one, and I think they finished around 14th, 15th. And then even Alabama was preseason number one, I guess, the year before that. And they ended up finishing around, I think, 10th in the rating, somewhere just around there. So I'm surprised you didn't get more calls that said the real, and then also Auburn end up, they were preseason, what, 22 or something like that, and they won the national championship.
True, yeah.
So really the preseason polls are kind of meaningless.
Well, especially now that a committee decides who goes to the playoffs anyway. Appreciate your call. And Eugene is up next in New York. Hello, Eugene. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, I follow football, and I'm really impressed with Gus Malzahn going to the University of Central Florida. I just think it's a great move for both the Gus and the school.
Well, number one, I think it was time Gus left Auburn. I think that was a bad marriage, and no matter what he did, whether it was good or bad, the fans had a fairly similar reaction. So they made a break, and I think he brings a lot of energy to that program, which is it's a huge school, has a big reputation. Scott Frost, of course, put them on the map a couple of years ago. He wasn't the only one. They've had good coaches there in the past, George O'Leary, just to name a few. And then Heupel came in and held it together, and I think Gus Malzahn will lead them to championships. Now, whether they get to the playoff, possible. If the playoff expands, I think UCF will be one of the biggest beneficiaries. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. How about Don in Mississippi? Hey, Don, go right ahead.
Hey, man, how you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my call, first-time caller. And all I wanted to say is I played college ball, and I just don't agree with college players getting paid because of all the benefits that they have with these big colleges doing what they do for them. And I mean, it's just astronomical at what big colleges do for these players.
Well, remember something, Don, I hold on 1 second, but let me make sure everyone understands. The universities are not paying them to play. They get the scholarship. What this law will do, or what this legislation will do, will enable them to profit, not as a football player, being paid a regular salary, but as in a way to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. It will be a separate entity. The university is not going to be handing out the checks.
Okay. But I'm still I just think in agreement with it till I see the whole final.
But Don, let me ask you a question. If I'm a student at the University of Georgia, just for the sake of argument, or Mississippi State or Ole Miss, now with social media, and I become known for whatever, who knows? I mean, nowadays college students are influencing various things, and as a college student, I'm majoring in basket weaving, and I come up with some concept where I've got jerseys now that have my picture on it, and I put them out, and people start buying them. I can profit from that. Why can't the players profit from doing things too? But I'm just asking you the question. Whether you agree or not, what is wrong with that?
I can see a little bit of point to that, but when you agree to play at a university, you sign a contract with these people, which
right.
nowadays these contracts are not with.
Hey, Don, if I could ask you, when did you play college ball? What year?
75.
Okay.
77.
I understand. I was in school at that time. So,
I just love to play college ball. I love to play football,
we have to go to a break. But that was 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago. Things are different in this country. Things are different in the world, and young people feel like it's their time. And yeah, I understand the argument because I'm from the exact same era. We were in school at the same time, but it's a new world out there. There are opportunities for them to make money, and if they do, fine. If they don't, fine too. They're not all going to make money. As Barclay said yesterday, certain elements of schools are you're going to make some and some are not. And after a while, if we think naively that every booster is going to pay all this money, they're not. These are business men. They'll do what they can to help their university, but there's only so far they'll go. We are going to take a break. More to come with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here on a Thursday afternoon. As we said at the beginning, Georgia has now joined the NIL states. And we are joined now by the governor of the state of Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp, who was with us about a year ago talking about what Georgia was doing with COVID. First of all, Governor, it's always good to see you. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, great to be back on with you, Paul. Thanks.
Well, let's talk about how this all went down today, and obviously you signed it, but what are your thoughts on this NIL legislation and what it means?
Well, listen, I think it's a great step forward for the state of Georgia and for our college student athletes. It's really going to move us to parity with some other states out there, but also send the message that Georgia's a state to be in where you can benefit from your name, image, and likeness, obviously. I think the good thing about our bill, it's not just good for one individual. It's going to be good for all student athletes, which I think is a little bit different from some of the other legislation we've seen around other states. But it also leaves us a lot of flexibility depending on what in the future the NCAA or Congress might do. So it's a great step forward. Very excited about it.
Governor, a lot to talk about, including your favorite college football team. But yesterday, the commissioner of the SEC, Commissioner Greg Sankey, someone I know you know well, joined us to talk about this subject.
If Congress doesn't adopt a national standard for how we enact name, image, and likeness activity for student athletes, then the states will do so. We'd already seen California enact a law. Florida was soon to enact a law. And my observation was once one of our SEC footprint states has a law, then there will be a rush by the other states to do the same thing. So far, they're not exactly the same, but at least there's commonality. Yet still, I'm of the opinion that we need Congress to engage, which they've done, and actually to enact a name, image, and likeness related law so we can have a common standard for this student athlete economic activity.
Governor, I want to get your reaction to what he said, because we don't know what Congress is going to do, and I know that's one reason why your state did what it did today.
Well, I agree with the commissioner on this. I mean, a national standard would be best, but as you know, Paul, the states are the incubators of democracy in our country, not only when it comes to sports, but in a lot of other things. And I think this is just the ability for us to put a stamp on that, for other states to do the same. And hopefully it will be a motivator for Congress to get together and really come up with a bipartisan bill, much like we did in Georgia, to move the needle on this issue and have some parity out there.
Not that I'm an expert in anything, but I've taken a quick look at this, and if you could explain, this bill is a little bit different in terms of how some of the funds could be distributed. Now, I'll let you answer the question. You signed the bill, but it doesn't require this to happen in terms of what the university can gain. It just allows it, and Georgia has already had some comments about that. Can you square how this is different than some of the other states?
Well, I think that to me, certainly everybody's welcome to their opinion on what this does. And I think, being realistic with people, I think this is going to move and target. We're going to remain flexible as a state. I know our legislature will as well, to adjust if needed, and also to work with, NCAA, other conferences, whatever, whoever comes to the table on this issue. The thing that I liked about what we did in Georgia is I think this is going to help preserve college sports and also help our student athletes, but not just, one star athlete. I think it's going to help all the athletes the way that our particular legislation was written. So, even that somebody that's on a, maybe a sport that's not as recognizable as some in the SEC or in other conferences across the state of Georgia that some of our great schools participate in, leaves us a lot of flexibility. So those, every student athlete will benefit from this in some way. So it preserves, I think, a lot of our female-based sports and other less recognized sports. And I think that's something that, hopefully we'll see the NCAA weigh in on and Congress as well. Because, it's the greatest game in America, other than playing youth sports like I did, really to keep from, professionalizing the sport too much. I think we're going to have that type of element in there. But we're open to working with everybody on that issue.
Governor, for a man who has had a fascinating 14 months, there'll be books and documentaries done on your recent tenure, and I know you're a big sports fan, but you have been drawn into some of the most volatile sports debates recently, especially with the Major League Baseball game. I'm just curious. I'm not sure this was the job that you signed up for when you won a couple of years ago, that you would be having to navigate so many sports issues.
Well, certainly didn't think that would be one of the top issues we dealt with this last year during pandemic politics, I might say, in a lot of ways. And it's unfortunate that sports has gotten drawn into politics, which is why I think Major League Baseball's decision was such a terrible one. I think the commissioner thought he was trying to remove Major League Baseball from being in the middle of politics, and all he did was move further into the political argument, which is a terrible position to have in my eyes. I don't think fans or the players or a lot of other people want to be drawn into that. Every state can obviously weigh in on different pieces of legislation, whether it's the name, image, likeness, or how they want their voting bills to be. That's what the democracy and the Constitution set it up to be, so the states could speak on those issues. And they're going to differ depending on what the political environment is. But, Paul, when people go to a ball game, and when I go, I just want to cheer for the hometown team, pull for the Dogs or the Braves or whoever it is, and not have to worry about the politics of that. It's been very unfortunate, and I think the decision now that they made, they're realizing that it wasn't a good one. But we've moved on, in some ways from that issue, to tell people the truth about our, especially our elections legislation. It makes it easy to vote and hard to cheat. It's a very thoughtful piece of legislation. A lot of people were in the room from all different sides of that issue, and there was a lot of debate and work on the bill, and we got to a place that I think is good for the state of Georgia. Other states are doing that now. They're not getting near the, the blowback that we got, but, I thought it was the right thing to do to push back on that and really to depoliticize the issue from, quite honestly, a lot of activists that were profiting from that. But I'm just proud that we live in a state where we try to figure out how to get things done and move past tough issues. And I certainly want to thank the commissioner and the SEC. I mean, they were a leader last year for standing up and not pulling the plug on the college football season and working with a lot of folks, including a lot of health professionals and others on campus and the presidents and others to say, hey, how can we do this? How can we have our kids playing in front of fans, do it in a safe way, protect the economics of college football and help the local communities where that sport's paid, but also do it in a safe way. And that's how Georgia's acted this whole pandemic, protecting lives, but also livelihoods.
Governor, we'll spend the rest of this conversation on less weighty issues, unless you're a Georgia football fan, and I know you are. We had such a good time last year talking about your love for the Dogs. We all know your football background, your college background. So help us answer the question, is this the year for the Dogs? Because a lot of people think it is.
Well, first of all, I'm just really excited about the season. I mean, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I want to encourage all your listeners to talk to their medical professionals, their doctors, pharmacists, and they haven't gotten vaccinated, to make a great decision and do that. They're safe. They're effective. It's a, you know, Operation Warp Speed is a medical miracle. It's our path back to normalcy, which we're certainly seeing in the state of Georgia with our numbers dropping. We got the Braves going to 50%. They'll be at 100 soon. We've you know, removed all restrictions here. I've talked to athletic director Josh Brooks at UGA and Coach Smart as well. And, you know, I'm certainly supportive of having 100% capacity at Sanford Stadium and other venues around the country if those institutions decide that they want to do that. I think it would be great. I'm looking forward to the greatest tailgating in America on the campus of the University of Georgia and a lot of other great campuses in the state of Georgia. And it's just going to be a great year. People are ready to get out. They've been pent up for a long time. It's going to be probably one of the most anticipated and exciting college football years, and really sports in general. We're already seeing that. People need an outlet. They're ready to get back and have some fun, to see friends and family and cheer on their favorite team. You know, for Georgia, I think they're going to be really strong. They got the players, unlike last year. We just got to keep everybody healthy. I think that was one of the things that hurt us in big games last year. We had key people that were out and hurt. Got a lot of stability coming back, obviously, at the quarterback position, and just loaded players on defense. And so it's going to be a fun year again at the University of Georgia, and really for college football in general, no matter what level of the competition.
Governor, before you go, what's a game day like for the Kemp family? Do you guys go all out? I know you're fairly well known, so you just can't idly walk through big crowds without looking around. But what do you do on game day?
I've definitely walked through the big crowds. I love doing that. You know, I went to one of the games last year, the Mississippi State night game in Athens. I was sitting up in the upper deck east end zone, looking at the game right between the goalposts with my kids. I mean, that's where the tickets that we could get for that game were. I didn't want to sit in a box. I wanted to experience like any other fan and have that experience with my three daughters, two of them which are at UGA and one that will be there next year. I mean, that's what people are looking for, and I'm looking forward to doing that again. We participate in probably one of the greatest tailgates in the country. With my friend Jimbo Laboon that organized that. We grew up together, and it's a great time. It's a tradition. We have a lot of guests from visiting schools and folks that are coming to watch the game that may be pulling for the wrong team, in my opinion. But that's what's so great about the tradition, and it happens all over the SEC and in college football, really in Georgia. There's a lot of great schools, great teams where that happens every week.
Of course, the Dogs open the season in Charlotte against Clemson. I'm sure you'll be tuned in. Governor, it's always good to see you. I know a lot is happening in your world, and we appreciate you making time for us again.
Great to be on with you. Thanks, Paul.
You got it. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, joining us from his office, talking about the new NIL bill and how the Dogs are going to do this year. We will take a break. Your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We will get back to your calls in a few minutes at 855-242-7285. Some just terribly sad news breaking out of the University of Texas this afternoon. The linebacker for the Longhorns, Jake Ellinger, the younger brother of former QB Sam Ellinger, was found dead near the campus. There's no more information than that, but that story just breaking out of Austin, Texas. Just incredible to think about a young life like that. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, thank you. Good afternoon.
How's it going, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, question about the NIL here. Do you think it's going to allow sports agents to become involved with college athletics?
Well, I mean that's something you have to think about, and you remember there are still NCAA rules, and until we see the final legislation, it is impossible to answer very many questions. And what the governor was talking about, I think everyone really would prefer Congress to make it uniform. That means every college football program is adhering to the same rules, as opposed to Florida having one set, Georgia, Florida, Alabama. But there has to be some means for players to have someone representing them. If you're a big-time player, how much time are you going to be able to have to start negotiating deals? So someone will have to rep the players. I don't know how it's going to work.
Absolutely. The only thing I worry about is them opening a Pandora's box of problems. I feel like a player shouldn't be exploited and other people making money off their name, image, and likeness. But at the same time, they're opening the door for a whole plethora of problems, you know, as far as they're going to have some kind of set standard on this. It's going to have to be controlled, or it's definitely going to get out of hand. I see it just becoming a major nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, just like the governor talked about it a minute ago, but one of the provisos in the Georgia package is for the school to get 75%. Now, the university has already indicated that's not going to happen. So I let the governor explain it, but I didn't really push him on it, because even though that is the law now, it says it allows it, it doesn't require. So no university is going to do that, because it would be a disadvantage to them in terms of competition against other states that don't have that. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it.
Well, honestly, also,
I'm sorry, I must have missed you. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch, go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I was wondering, if they pay the players, will that do away with scholarships? Will the players have to pay for their own schooling?
No. The scholarships are not going to change. It's just their ability to profit off of their likeness. That's really what this is about.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, I mean, one day what we really need, if I could just give one second here, Mitch, we just really need that. We need to do a tutorial on this as we get closer. But since we don't really know what it's going to look like, I've held off, because there are days when I don't understand it, and I talk about it every day. Yeah, go right ahead.
Will there be like an equal share?
No, well,
for all the players on the team?
I don't think so. No. The answer is no. I can
give me an educated guess. I don't.
No, there's no. No, that's what Barkley was talking about yesterday. He said, I think the quote was, while the quarterback's making a ton of money, what's the big ugly lineman going to get? Nothing. And Pandora's box doesn't really do this justice, but yeah, what the governor did and what other governors are doing are just trying to protect their state universities. because if Georgia didn't enact it, and Alabama and Florida had, which is the case, then you're at a tremendous disadvantage. So it's a wild run right now to get all these things through the state legislature, but I think most expect Congress to come in here. How, I don't know, and in what form, I don't know. Let's continue with Stetson, who is up next in Florida. Hello, Stetson.
Hey, Paul. I'd like to address the narrative that Congress is going to be our godsend on this whole issue. And that's an oxymoron.
Yes, in most cases it is. I'm hopeful that maybe one time they'll get it right. I'm trying to think the last thing they did get right. Can you tell me?
No. I wish I could. I'd also like to address the idea that Florida is still in on the name and likeness because there was a midnight bill that knocked Florida out.
No, they're back in. Stetson, the governor got so much pressure on that, Governor Ron DeSantis, that they came back 2 days later and put the bill in. So, yeah, that has been rectified. We're up against a break. A lot to do on the show. Still another guest or two. We just talked to the governor of Georgia. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we are back here on a Thursday afternoon. Let's go to Glenn in New Orleans. Hey, Glenn.
Paul, how's it going today, you son of a gun?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, as far as the COVID goes, the vaccination is open to everybody, correct now?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't get a vaccine right now, you are not looking for one.
Right, and that's my point. So, and I don't care if people get it or not. I got it. But my concern is, like the players. If a player decides he doesn't want to get it, should there be testing involved? Given a choice.
I think this is what they're telling the players, that if you get vaccinated, you will be done with COVID testing. But if you're not, then we will have to test you. So that is the little, it's not subliminal. I mean, that's the obvious decision that a player has to make. And as the commissioner said yesterday, you can't make somebody take a vaccine. Now, it may be, the workplace is a little bit different. Every place, it just depends on where you are and what you're doing. But not only that, there in most businesses, your employer can't even ask you if you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of things wrong with this country.
Well, no, but I'm telling you, I mean, if you work for a big company, and I certainly do, they cannot ask you. I am confused by it because, I mean, I think people should do what they want to do. And I thought the governor made a good point. To me, it's up to, it's up to your physician. What do you think I should do? And by the way, the reason I bring that up, people have different conditions that would maybe make them a better candidate or a less likely candidate. But the bottom line is the vaccine is available everywhere.
Right. And so with the vaccine available, then all of the governors should be able to remove all restrictions.
Well, and most are. I mean, even in New York, which is which has been a very restrictive state, most of the restrictions are coming down. Not all. I mean, it depends on where you are, but there won't be many restrictions as we head toward the summer.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for, is no restrictions whatsoever, because the vaccine is available, and if you choose not to get it, that's fine. But you're not going to impede or go against my right to be able to do what I want to
because
you chose not to get it.
I totally agree with you, and that's one reason I have not made a big deal about the vaccine here, because I have my own personal view, and it's predicated on what people that I trust tell me, but I am not going to use this forum to tell you what you should do with your body.
Thank you very much, Paul. Have a good day.
Thank you. There are enough people doing that. Let's check out Scott, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Scott, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Good to have you on.
Good. Good. Listen, I got a quick question. So, or a couple comments on the name, image, and likeness thing, which I haven't heard brought up. Correct me if I'm wrong, but most, if not all, of these institutions own their own name, image, and likeness for their name, mascot, and colors, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so my question to you is this. If that is the case, has anybody brought the fact that a lot of these universities already have partners for local dealerships, local drinks, local restaurants? So what's going to happen when XYZ restaurant, whatever, whatnot, drink or whatever, decides they want to get involved with a player, but they're not the official sponsor of said university? Do you think these universities are going to allow their player to then use the name, image, and likeness of the logo and school that they represent? And additionally, do you think that the restaurants and businesses that have these agreements in place are just going to sit by idly and allow the restaurant,
you know, Scott,
beverage of the player to be presumed as the official restaurant or beverage of that school?
Schools take this very seriously. I mean, there was a case not too far long ago where a university had an affiliation with a particular bank, and they would not let some other entity do anything on that campus because there was another bank affiliated with that entity. And I'm speaking in code language here, because you might know what I'm talking about because it's in your state.
Mm-hmm.
Like Georgia, you know, I'm sure one of the big sponsors is Coca-Cola. You suddenly have JT Daniels out there hawking Pepsi. That would probably not go over very well.
Exactly. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have, you know, these local companies, they not only want to have the player, but they also want to have the logo or the helmet or whatever.
I don't know how
see how it's going to work.
It's a great question. I've never heard this question asked, but
I'll tell you what. What's going to happen is it's going to lead to a lot of attorneys getting a lot of work, and you know, they usually get rich off these type of things. So that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's sad that attorneys are getting rich.
Yep.
But anyway, that's for another day. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks a lot.
You got a really, really interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. How about Mark, who is in Georgia? Hey, Mark. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, great show and great topic, and glad you had our governor on.
Thank you.
Fully supported the NIL. I think it's a good thing in many ways, but there are, you know, pros to cons to a bunch of things. Former football player myself, defensive end out of Mississippi, but, you know, when I was there, it was 85 to 89, right? So, like you stated earlier, it's a much different world with the media out there nowadays and influencers and all that. But I was pretty good in art, and at times I would sell my artwork and do different things, but I had to stop because it was seen or could be seen from the NCAA as off my image because I played and done this.
That's interesting.
You know, people saw my artwork more or whatever, and they would tend to buy it, but
You must have been a pretty good artist to be. I hate to run. I want to hear more of that story some other time. We're at the end of the hour. Simon Gibbs is up next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.